I'm here to talk to you today about community perspectives on medication management, and I'd just like to point out that myself, Teresa Simalulu, and Heather Orm all worked very hard on this project. I have nothing to disclose, no relationships to disclose. So to jump right into medication management, to tell you a little bit about the scope, especially in older adults. So in 2010, there were over 40 million older adults, and this number is projected to increase to about 88 million, by 2050. So more than half of older adults use five or more medications a day. Now, that could be a combination of over-the-counter or prescription medication, and nearly 30% use five or more prescription medications a day. And the cost of medication mismanagement is estimated to be approximately $100 billion annually. And in the elderly, it does contribute to about 10% of hospitalizations and 23% of nursing home admissions. So that translates to about 3 million older adults. Just to define a medication management for you, it involves obtaining medications, taking the correct drugs at the correct dosage and at the prescribed times, and monitoring for side effects. And on the other hand, mismanagement has been defined as the errors people make in planning to take and taking medications. Our study justification were first that despite five decades of research, current interventions do not consistently improve medication management, especially long-term, and relatively little is known about what elders and their caregivers perceive as acceptable and feasible solutions to this issue, and including healthcare consumers in the planning and decision-making process about healthcare may improve the effectiveness and accessibility of services. So in order to do that, we conducted focus groups, and the goal of this was to describe how caregivers and elders perceive these barriers, but more importantly, to identify some community-derived solutions to improve medication management. So there were 9 focus groups conducted. We had a total of 65 participants who represented 5 urban and rural communities throughout Western and Central New York. The community stakeholders and key informants got together at a regional priority setting meeting and identified the need for this research. Participants were then recruited by key informants and stakeholders in their own communities using snowball sampling. And the inclusion criteria was that elders we considered 60 and older and taking at least one medication a day for 6 months. And people and caregivers could participate if they were caring for an elder who met that criteria. Our data analysis, we used thematic content analysis. 2 members of our research team developed an initial 16 code set. Our transcripts were independently coded, and we did calculate inter-rater reliability using the ReCal2 software, and our average percent agreement was 96%, and our Cohen's kappa was 0.76. Our participant characteristics, as you can see, for elders, our average age was 72, and for caregivers is 66. The majority of elders were white. All of our caregivers were white, and the majority of both groups were female. All right, so now to get into the interesting part. We did see 4 overarching themes that really were present in all of our focus groups, and these were improved communication and coordination among healthcare providers, the need for a review and reduction of medications, implementing community-driven support programs, and the use of a medical advocate. And I will describe what participants were talking about that, or how participants described that. And participants were able to identify barriers and solutions for each of these themes. So the first was improved coordination and communication between providers. And this was a barrier because patients felt they received conflicting information about their medications and that frequent changes in medication regimens made it more confusing to take their medication. Also, this often left the onus of communication between providers on the patient, and they didn't feel confident that they were accurately giving the information from one provider to another. One of our male participants said they need to get on the same page, especially when it comes down to giving you medications. So the solutions that were described to improve this barrier, first was that a primary care physician could manage communication between providers. And so for this, really the primary care physician would be the person who was coordinating that care and making sure that all of the medications were being managed by one physician. And one female participant said that her primary care doctor needs to know what else she's taking to make sure that everybody juggles with everybody. She felt that the primary care physician could really help manage all of her physicians. And the use of electronic medical records was very highly recommended. One of our participants said, and this current day and age is all the technology, there isn't a reason for doctor's offices not to communicate. This is a view that was held by all of our participants, that this is a tool that can be used to both help physicians communicate with each other, but then also it's helpful to them. People said we can print off our medication lists from our electronic medical records, and we can use that to verify and know that all of our physicians have the most updated information, and they actually carry those with them in place of a handwritten form. Our second theme was review and reduction of medications. The barrier for this was taking a large number of pills. The more pills a day, people said it was just more difficult to adhere because each pill may have a specific medication regimen. People could be taking pills multiple times a day, and sometimes different medications need different foods, and so it became very overwhelming in some instances. Also, there was a fear of the gradual buildup of medication as people age without review as to whether or not these medications were still effective and to whether they were even necessary as they aged. There was also a lack of confidence in a practice of prescribing medication to treat the side effects of another medication. Our participants expressed that they just really did not feel that this was a practice that they were confident that their physicians were doing. So, but when asked for suggestions to how to improve this, people overwhelmingly said a review of medications. They described it in an informal and formal process. So informally, they said, go one-on-one, go in and talk to your provider, and look at look at the kinds of things that you can maybe work down. One participant said, I do wonder if there shouldn't be assessment for all these people who are on medications. If you've got these different doctors, where's the coordination? Additionally, it was also seen as it could be a more formal process. Some participants described participating in this. They said that one participant said that she went in and her clinic actually had an annual review of her medications, and that enabled her to get off of a whole blood pressure a day, and that she admires that they're looking into trying to eliminate these unnecessary medications. It's an annual process, and you know that they just want to review it and talk to you about it. Our third overarching theme was a community-driven support systems. So the barrier for this was isolation or a lack of social support. And participants said that it makes it more difficult for elders to accomplish certain aspects of medication management, such as obtaining their medications was a big issue here. And they said that isolated elders were also less likely to have personal systems in place to help them manage this. And their solutions that were identified were community-driven support programs or networks. Many people talked about having phone trees or visitation circles where one person could call and ask them if they'd taken their medication, and then the next person could call and ask, and so on, until it went all the way around the circle. Participants talked about helping their friends and how they call their friends daily and say, you have to be there to help to remind them to take their medications. We also had participants who described much more formalized strategies. We have block clubs, and one participant described being the president of her block club, and she and her vice president would take turns and go every day to the houses of their isolated elders and ask them if they were able to take their medication, do they need to get a script taken care of, and they'd have a little notebook so that they would log this down. Finally, the final barrier was a perceived lack of understanding of medications, and participants believe that physicians might dismiss concerns, did not give time to ask questions, and answering a question sometimes happened in a way that was difficult for them to understand. And so the solution for this was possibly bringing a third person that we are calling a medical advocate, but it's someone who is knowledgeable but is really seen as a neutral third party. One participant said they aren't going to treat you, they aren't going to lie to you because it doesn't do them any good any other way. They only get paid to advise you. And this person is someone who could also act as a facilitator for communication between a provider and a patient. Our take-home points. Improved care coordination is likely to improve medication management. And these are big components of new models of care, such as medical home models. So this really speaks to that. The endorsement of regular review and reduction of medications. This has been looked at as far as cost effectiveness, but our participants were talking about it as a tool for them to help them manage their medications. And so there really needs to be more evaluation in that aspect, not just about whether or not it's a cost-effective strategy. Also, these community-based strategies that our participants described could have important implication for naturally occurring retirement communities and aging-in-place research. And finally, the addition of the medical advocate to the care team, and independent from patient navigators, and would focus more, and patient navigators tend to focus more on advising in medical decisions and facilitating interactions. So our main conclusion is that these solutions are generated by people who are dealing with medications on a regular basis, and these are what they feel would help them manage their medications and live long, successful, healthy lives. So thank you so much, and time for the next person.